Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Week 13 is here. We have come to the end of the second part of the 2015 fantasy football draft season. We are well past draft day. We are a few short weeks from the crowning 2015's fantasy football champions. Of course, you are listening to The Takeover. I am fantasy executive Corey Parson. Hit me up, follow me on Twitter at The Fantasy Exec. And of course, each and every week, I bring with me NFFC Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, Chris McCarroll. Follow him on Twitter at Chris McCarroll, GST. Getting ready for the big holiday party coming to the GST in about a week and a half from now. Chris, here we are, brother. We are to the finale of the regular season portion of the 2015 fantasy football season. And I, my friend, will say that I am lucky to have at least one good chance at two teams in the playoffs competing for big checks. But, Chris, I got to be honest with you. I had six teams when this thing started. And four of these teams have no chance. To be honest, probably since week 10 to get to this point.
Yeah, man. We lost a lot of soldiers along the way, buddy, didn't we? We lost a couple soldiers this year. And hey, man, you know, Corey, I'm in that position too, man. That I'm in a position this year where I haven't been in a position like this in a long time, where I lost teams week 7, 8, 9 like that. Like, you know, just getting off to bad starts, and you know, luckily I got, you know, just like you, got a couple you know, in contention, got a couple going to the playoffs already, got a couple trying to get in week 13, and, you know, hey, here we are now. It's been a long journey, 13 weeks. It goes by quick, doesn't it, man? It really does. But we're here now, and the teams that were trying to get in, let's get them in.
No doubt. Agree with you 100% on that one. You have a situation where you're trying to get in. We're here to help you with that. Going to go a little bit shorter tonight. Going to get with you for an hour, but try to get through all the action. Chris, first I want to start with talking about some of the things going on in our league. Of course, last week in the real-time fantasy football championship, had the big matchup against the one seed. Unfortunately, I bring the bad news that even though I felt pretty good going into the weekend, 141 to 125 was the final. Could have made it closer, a little bit closer, if I'd have played Jordan Matthews over Allen Hurns. But hindsight is 20/20, and that would not have been the way to go regardless. Still wouldn't have got me across the top.
Right.
still would have failed.
Can't predict that Allen Hurns injury, right?
No, yeah, exactly. Can't predict the Allen Hurns injury. Still would have fell short of the goal. Got 26 points from Blake Bortles, 18 from Chris Ivory. Got Javaris Allen, Buck Allen, off the waiver wire for $1.
Nice.
Put Dan Woodhead on the bench. Got 18 points from Javaris Allen. Got a combined 19 points from Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, man, and I remember you telling me about this, Corey, during the week, and, man, oh, man, what a week for your two top studs to take the week off. Not what you planned, not what you expected. They had good matchups, and, you know, what can you do, man? That's the type of crazy year that it's been. You know, week in and week out. If you were going to tell me two guys that are the most dependable in fantasy this year, week in and week out, to not bomb, you know, Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins are two of the top three or four guys in that conversation. They're consistent week in and week out. This past week was pretty much the first week where they didn't crack double-digit points.
Yep, tough one right there. Like you said earlier, Allen Hurns been my flex. He left the game, left me with 8 points. Got a big 26-point effort from Julius Thomas. The New York Giants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In F and on offense, Josh Brown, my kicker. 2 fantasy points, his lowest week of the year. And, of course, my defense giving me 6 points. Chris, I want to look over at his side. And we knew he would come out strong with Cam Newton. His running backs were Shane Vereen and Lamar Miller. They combined to give him 11 points. So you're saying, well, where did he get this 140 points from?
Mm-hmm.
27 from T.Y. Hilton, 35 from Jarvis Landry, 14 from John Brown, 13 from Tyler Eifert, and why not throw in 11 points from his kicker, Justin Tucker, to give him the 16-point victory, and that's it. No check. One and done. Felt real good about the team coming into it.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that team last week on last week's show, Corey, and I loved it. I loved your chances to win that matchup, but you know what? When T.Y. Hilton, who hasn't put up really more than one or two big games all year, comes in and drops a 27 on you, and then followed up by a Jarvis Landry with supposedly not practicing all week long last week going into the game, and a little bit of a knee issue, and then he comes out and drops video game numbers on you. It's not good. It's not good. It's just one of those years. It's one of those situations, buddy. You ran into a bad luck week when Landry and Hilton are pretty much quadrupling the score of Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins. There's nothing you could do except sit back and shake your head.
No, definitely couldn't enjoy the game. Kept checking the mobile device, of course. Every time I inched a little bit closer, mainly from the help of Julius Thomas, he would inch a little bit further ahead. And I'm saying to myself, where is he getting these points from? And lo and behold, the points came from Jarvis Landry started going crazy in the second half of that Jet game. But no fear. We move on this week, week 13 of my Scout Fantasy Online Championship Team, 12-team league. 2,500 to the winner. 4 teams qualify for the playoffs. Of course, the grand prize is $50,000. Not really in shouting distance of that. But, of course, it feels good to go ahead and win the league. Now, right now, Chris, I want to start jumping with this right here, and I want to get to one of your situations that you have coming up this weekend, too. So before we get into the game, so I'll give the owners, because I got a lot of good response from last week's podcast. And they're like just talking about our specific matchups in our league.
Yeah.
Gives them a lot of help in their thinking on where they're going with some of their teams this week. So, basically, Scout Fantasy, Online Championship, league I've done very well in the past. Had two of these leagues this year. One of them was a contest where you challenged the fantasy executive, lost Jamal Charles in that team, and the team kind of started to fall apart. Got, you know, subpar performances from guys like Aaron Rodgers, Calvin Johnson not really having that monster breakaway top five fantasy season, not to mention injury situations with guys like Vincent Jackson and so on and so forth, even though Jarvis Landry was on that team. Could never really get that. Well, had that one rocking until Charles went down, and then after that wasn't able to get back, even though I had Chuck Henry West on the team. Just like a lot of my teams, the running back situation was pitiful. So that's how that one. Now, Chris, I'm going to let you go ahead and start because I'm having a hard time pulling up this team. So what do you got coming up that's of major importance to you in week 13?
All right. Core, you know what? The NFFC Cut Line. This is a great event, really fun event. I don't know if you heard of it.
I was sitting in top five halfway through last season, then an injury hit me. Same competition.
All right. All right, so you're familiar with it, and a lot of our listeners that play in these high-stakes leagues, I'm sure they're familiar with it, but we started off with 2,200 teams. You had to win your league or finish second to qualify, for the week 10 through 12 playoffs. So the top, out of 2,200, 400 teams made it to week 10. From weeks 10 through 12, we eliminated 300 teams. So I was lucky enough to finish in this top 100 for the cut line. So now we've gotten through. We've eliminated 2,100 teams out of the 2,200 that have started. I'm down to the final 100 teams going into this week. The top 60 now advanced this week, and so on and so forth. You know, the following week will be the top 30, and then, you know, down to 12, and there's only one winner. So sitting with a loaded team, and it's funny that, you know, we started off the show talking about a Julio DeAndre Hopkins team because that's what I'm dealing with here. Let's run through this lineup real quick, Corey. Mm-hmm. Got Cam Newton as my quarterback. Okay, he's locked in this week. Julio, DeAndre Hopkins, and Martavius Bryant are my top three receivers. They're locked into my top three receiver positions. And I love that I somehow advanced these guys doing nothing last week. So now I'm loving having these guys in the lineup with Julio and Hopkins, obviously. LeSean McCoy right now is my top running back. He's getting it done.
I love
he's
LeSean
got a
McCoy
spot.
Going down the stretch. He is getting it done. LeSean
he's
McCoy
getting it done.
Is a very dangerous player to own right now.
Yes, he is, and I'm loving it. So with all these guys, so these guys that I just mentioned – they have a spot in my lineup this week. Now I'm going to rattle off the rest of my decisions, and I want you to tell me what you would lean with. This has been, you know, going on back and forth in my head all week long. Mark Ingram is usually my RB2 on this team. Okay, keep him in mind. We have Mark Ingram. We have Jeremy Hill versus the Browns. We have Charcandrick West, who's back now versus the Raiders. We have T.J. Yeldon, and we have your boy Buck Allen. These are five quality running backs now that most people don't have. I have them all on one team. I also have Eric Decker as my number four receiver. Out of those guys, I'm deciding between an RB2 and a flex player this week to complete the rest of that lineup to go with Cam Newton, McCoy, Julio, DeAndre, and Martavius Bryant versus the Colts. How'd you like that situation?
Tough situation to be in, but also a good situation to be in. I would say right off the top, every executive goes into your flex spot.
Okay. I agree with that. I have Decker in my flex spot. I'm rolling out the four wide receivers. That leaves us with
all
one spot left for a running back.
That all be two.
Now, let's just run through my mindset and see if, you know, our listeners and you think along with me. Number one, Mark Ingram would be at the top of this list usually, but he's got the hardest matchup versus the Carolina Panther run defense, who's playing unbelievable right now. And Mark Ingram hasn't been getting the workload for some reason these last couple weeks, but yet he's doing it in the passing game. Then we have Jeremy Hill, who's not getting it done at all, but looked pretty good last week and has a great matchup versus the Browns' run defense. With maybe a Tyler Eifert out, one less option in the game, you know, maybe it's Jeremy Hill. Or do you go with one of the two hot guys with the Charcandrick West on a team that runs the ball to death, but then you have the Spencer Ware issue to worry about, the splitting of the carries. You don't know now what's going to happen. You can't really trust T.J. Yeldon, even though he has a pretty good matchup. And then the other guy, the wild card now that everyone's in love with, Buck Allen versus a Miami defense that is getting gashed in the run game.
Okay. Love the matchup for Hill. But in the PPR format, you have to eliminate Jeremy Hill because he's not giving you anything in the passing game. And he's splitting carries with Giovanni Bernard, who – for the most part, he's probably a better player than Jeremy Hill. I would eliminate him off the top. You hit the nail on the head with West. West would have been the guy here if we didn't see the emergence of Spencer Ware. And we don't know what the split is going to be. It may not be a split at all. I would have chose West because of the usage that the Kansas City running back has. The KC running back in Andy Reid's system is going to touch the football 20 to 25 times a week.
Yeah.
But that timeshare is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. T.J. Yeldon, good matchup. Can't go with
yep.
it. Not in this spot.
Not in this spot. I
Buck
agree
Allen
with I agree with that.
Goes against the worst defense in the NFL versus the run. Buck Allen is not sharing carries with anyone. Buck Allen is
yep.
also an option in the passing game. As crazy as this may sound, in Week 13, in the cut line, a team in the top 60 is going to have Buck Allen in their lineup.
Wow. So Buck Allen is your final answer.
I got to go Buck Allen.
All right. All right. Well, to all our listeners out there, you heard all the things. Now keep that in mind this week when you're watching the games. Buck Allen over Mark Ingram, who's been a pretty much top six running back this week for the last 2 months. And Jeremy Hill, who was a second rounder this year. We're going to go with Buck Allen, who just became viable last week.
What do you think?
You know, I'll tell you what I think real quick. I eliminated, when I sat down and all week and did this, I eliminated Jeremy Hill and Yeldon pretty much from the conversation. Those were pretty much the guys that I wasn't considering. It's hard for me to take Mark Ingram out of this lineup, Corey, just because...
I know it is.
Just because something just tells me, don't, you know, you got here. You know, a lot of this, my mindset when I do these leagues is like, don't jump off the bandwagon now with the guys that got you there for the hot name. Like, if I go with Buck Allen, Corey, and Ingram's on my bench, and Buck Allen drops a four or gets hurt in the first quarter and is gone, and then Ingram runs for 60 yards in a tough matchup, but gets in the end zone twice, but does it in the passing game with another seven catches for 60 yards, and at the end of the day, I'm looking at a 23-point game at home. I mean, those are the things you lose sleep over, and you're like, oh, my God. You know, we try
That's
and play the matchup
for more next year.
What?
That's why
What's
you
that?
Go back for more next season.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, we try, and a lot of times we outsmart ourselves with a lot of these decisions. And I always try and sit back and go, am I outsmarting myself with some of these decisions? And, you know, right now I'll say this. It's Ingram, Charkandrick West, and Buck Allen pretty much for those, for that one spot. That's what it's come down to. I kind of eliminated Hill and Yeldon. And if somehow I fall in love with two of these running backs, you know, if something great news comes out or something, maybe Decker, if there's a bad weather situation on Sunday at the Meadowlands, you know, maybe I sit him and I go double running back. I don't know yet, but it's a tough decision, Corey. It really is. But for now, it's going to be one of those three running backs in that running back spot.
All right, here we go. This is a team.
Yep.
This would come full circle. Scout Fantasy Online Championship. Way back in August, this was a slow draft that
mm-hmm.
we actually discussed as it was going on right here on the takeover. I told
okay,
you,
I remember.
I don't normally, I had two pick in this draft. You know how
yeah.
I target those big time wide receivers. If you remember the conversation, I said, I want the big wide receivers, but I was taking Bell at two, so I like Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
And I came back in the second round, and Jeremy Hill was there. And I was like, I like Jeremy Hill too. Started running back in this.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, of course, misses the season for the most part.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hill, let's call a spade a spade, has been a bust.
Right.
And, you know, we went on to talk about the rest of the draft. Well, here we go.
Yep.
In this situation, the top two teams in points in the league are very high up. One of the teams has over 1,900 points. So it's a team close to the top of the leaderboard. Other team is in the 18th. Yeah, it's a big number. Other team is in the 18s right now. My team is in the high 17s. Right now, sitting at number 3 in points. The team in 4th place, the team in 5th place, and the team in 6th place are 5 points behind me.
Okay.
All of those teams,
so you got a big number.
Team 3 to team 6 is within 5 points of each other. So it's going to be a wild finish this week.
Sure.
So you have basically 4 teams competing for two spots in the playoffs.
And you got to put up a big number.
Got to put up a big number. You're absolutely right. So here we go. I cut the dead weight on the team with Tony Romo. I've been riding Ryan Fitzpatrick for most of the season, and there's no way I'm going away from Ryan Fitzpatrick, even with Jay Cutler on the waiver wire.
Oh.
I'm not going away from Fitzpatrick with this matchup. I just can't do it against the New York Giants secondary, who is getting beat up by number one wide receivers, getting a week out, and he has a duo of them, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the guy runs a touchdown, it seems like, every week, too. The running back situation
really
is Jeremy Hill and Ronnie Hillman. My team's always weaker at running backs. Ronnie Hillman, serviceable. Jeremy Hill, touchdown dependent. But if it's any week that we do like Jeremy Hill, it is this week, like that matchup we talk about, but also Jeremy Hill is a zero in the passing game. Wide receivers are Eric Decker, Jarvis Landry, Emmanuel Sanders, locked in.
Like it. Like
the
it.
Tight end is Greg Olsen.
Can't do better than that.
Plus matchup this week, best tight end on the board. Now we get down to my dual flexes. Two flex spots, and these are the players that are being considered. I'm going to take Allen Hurns off the board because of injury.
Yeah. He's not playing.
Scott Chandler, Julius Thomas, Danny Amendola, Jamison Crowder. I need two of those four. That's Scott Chandler, Julius Thomas, Danny Amendola, and Jamison Crowder.
This is an easy one. This is an easy, no doubt about it. Don't even have to think long and hard.
I have two players in the lineup already. I want to see if we pick the same two guys.
It's definitely Danny Amendola and Julius Thomas.
Really? You got Danny Amendola playing this week?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, I do. Yeah, he's going to be fine. But you know what? You're fine there. All right, so what? You have Julius Thomas and you have Chandler in there?
I have Thomas and Chandler in here. I'm going three tight ends.
Because
I'm worried about the health of Danny Amendola.
Okay, but he's going to be – let's just play that he's fine and he comes back on Sunday, which he should. He had a limited practice today, so that's a little worrisome because I thought he'd be full-blown ready to come back and go this upcoming week in a dream matchup versus that Eagles defense and secondary. This is a field day for the Patriots, okay, in the pass game. LaFell, Chandler, and Amendola, okay? Here's what I would do. Julius Thomas has a spot now. We've been waiting all year for Julius Thomas. I know you have. I definitely have. It seems like now he's going to get hot for the rest of the season. Gets a huge, huge bonus besides even getting hot now and looking good in this pass game. Allen Hurns is going to sit out this game most likely. And when he does, Julius Thomas becomes a double-digit target guy and is huge. So lock in Julius Thomas. He's good to go versus Tennessee defense that gives it up willingly to the tight end. So he's in there. Julius Thomas just scored against them, actually, 2 weeks ago when they played. The other situation is perfect. Danny Amendola should be in your lineup without a doubt.
If he doesn't, Scott Chandler goes in.
And if he doesn't, Scott Chandler goes in. You're going to say, hey, it's a 4 o'clock start. No problem. You got Amendola and Chandler on the same team. You don't have to wait. You don't have to play any games. Jamison Crowder isn't in the conversation. And there you have it. Julius Thomas 1, Danny Amendola 2. If you hear any bad news or you waver a little bit and you're a little scared off Amendola, Chandler's a great play, and I have no problems playing him as well. So
no doubt. We agree 100% on that one. Like I said, I had Chandler in there ready to see the injury news on Danny Amendola. I will say this. I made a mistake. We talked about the importance of the waiver wire last week. I made a mistake last night not really picking through and checking my wire thoroughly, and I let Devontae Parker slip away. Devontae Parker could be a player down the stretch. Last week,
I wanted to talk about him. Yep.
Last
I wanted to talk
about
Devontae Parker.
Go ahead. Let's get into it right now. If I would have taken Parker off the waiver wire last night, would he have been a starter on my team this week against the Baltimore Ravens secondary that pulls him down easily?
Yeah. All right. Well, let me ask you this one. Did you do it over Scott Chandler? Was Scott Chandler your pickup over Devontae Parker?
Exactly.
That's a tough call because besides David Johnson, which he really wasn't available, everybody wants to say David Johnson was the waiver wire pickup of the week. Well, yeah, probably in home leagues and smaller leagues, but you know what? I have 18 high-stakes leagues, and guess what? He wasn't available on the waiver wire in any of the 18 this week. So I don't really consider him the waiver wire pickup of the week. But who was available in basically all leagues were Chandler and Devontae Parker. I emptied the bank out, whatever I had left in all leagues, on Chandler and Parker. And I'll be honest, Corey, there was no right answer for me on leagues that I needed a little bit more help at the receiver position. I bid more on Parker and vice versa if I needed help at the tight end position with Chandler. I loved both of them. They were the top two players off the waiver wire this week. Like them both this week and then going forward. The thing with Parker now, isn't it funny? We've talked about him a ton this year on the show, Corey. Devontae Parker has been a zero all year long, okay? I drafted him in live drafts, almost all my drafts, sat with him on my bench for 10 weeks, finally gave up on him and cut bait a couple weeks ago. And if this guy, starting in week 13 through 16, becomes the Odell Beckham, will you say, that rookie wide receiver that blows up late season, I don't know. I might have to go jump off a bridge, Corey. But Devontae Parker has a huge, huge opportunity now as the starting receiver versus that Ravens secondary this week. This kid might be the answer to a lot of teams, heading into the playoffs, in these next couple weeks. Who knows? He might be the answer.
Think back four years ago when the Atlanta Falcons, with Roddy White as their number one, draft Julio Jones.
Right.
Same type of situation here, Chris. I don't want to say because, Parker is Lambie is a younger player too, but I had a scout flat out tell me straight up that this guy was the best wide receiver on the Dolphins, even better than Jarvis Landry.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, listen, the kid's so talented. I watched him in college a ton. I drafted him because I really thought he would make a big impact earlier, early in the season. But you know what? That foot injury that, made him miss camp. When you're a rookie, it just doesn't work out. You're not going to come in right off the injury after missing camp and, blow up early. So he learned the playbook. He's gotten some time in. He's come a long way now, a lot of practices under his belt, sitting there learning, getting his shot now, week 13, and he's got all the intangibles to, and on top of this, Corey, this is a Dolphins team that is out of it. They have to look towards next year. They want to see how talented the kid is. He's not going to come off the field. He's going to have a ton of opportunity. He could be a 6 for 100 and a touchdown every week going forward, type of receiver that you picked off the waiver wires heading into the playoffs. You're not going to find that anywhere else. He's the answer at the wide receiver position off waivers this week. And yes,
no
he would
I
be
do,
in your starting lineup.
You're not really going to get a better opportunity than this the rest of the way. You're
no,
really. I don't see it.
No, and you're not. And waivers is over in high-stakes leagues, obviously. But if you're lucky enough to get Devontae Parker, put him right in that lineup. And like I said, to answer your question, Corey, yes, he would have cracked your lineup this week. But then again, so does Scott Chandler.
Yep. So there you go, right there. You're right. And you're right. Right now, Scott Chandler is in there. Got about 30 minutes to get into this game action for this week. We're going to run through some of these. And, Chris, I'm headed down to Delaware Park this week. So your input would be nice as I get ready to fill out these parlay and teaser tickets this upcoming weekend in the great state of Delaware, who obviously gets it right when it comes to the NFL lottery. San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears. Chicago 7.5-point favorite. Looking at 24 for Chicago, 17 for the San Francisco 49ers, who have been playing better with Blaine Gabbert. First off, Chris, you like this? Who do you like in this with the Chicago getting the 7.5?
In terms of what? With the spread and everything?
Yeah.
You know what, Corey? The Bears are playing very well. The Niners are a different team when they hit the road. That 7.5 points is tough for me to lay, though, with a team that isn't good. But then again, the Niners suck, too. This would definitely be a stay-away type of game for me.
I agree.
I could see, like, I could see a 24-20, 24-17 Niners sneak through with the 7.5. It's a stay-away game for me when two shit teams get together and I got to lay a big number.
I got you 100% on that. I am staying away from this one also. Fantasy-wise, though, I love Cutler. The whole thing. What are you doing with the running back situation if you're a Jeremy Langford, Matt Forte owner?
If you're a Langford owner, unfortunately, your time has passed, I think. I can't put him out there in a lineup in Week 13 and hope that he, gets touchdowns with his, 5 to 8 carries that he's going to get. If you have Forte, obviously you got to put him in there and play him in a great matchup. He's in there. But to me, let's talk a little daily while we're at it, Corey. Cutler to Alshon Jeffrey is my stack of the week. And I love it this week, those two. And I wouldn't have a problem if you went to Cutler in that situation you had. I understand your love for Fitzpatrick, and I love him too this week. But you know what? Jay Cutler, I can see him having a huge game this week.
No, I agree with you. Cutler is an excellent play this week. I really have no problem with it either. I don't know. It's just something about me and Ryan Fitzpatrick, bro.
I hear you.
Sean Drone, excuse me.
Right.
And is he a guy who can be in your lineup in Week 13? He's getting to work.
Oh, yeah. No, don't let the name fool you, Corey. This guy gets it done. The best stat of the week was this. Sean Drone played 56 of 56 snaps. You don't get that in fantasy right now. I don't care how great of a talent or how bad of a talent the guy is. When you could get a fantasy running back that does not leave the field, that's a play. And he's a play. He's easily an RB2. Get him in all your lineups if you have him. He's getting it done in the pass game. This guy catches 5-6 balls every week. Before you know it, he's a 15-20-point a game guy, and I love him again. I go right back to him. He's one of those late-season finds that people got off waivers for nothing, and he's producing.
You lost a Graham. Yep. Couldn't get Chandler off the waiver wire. How do you feel about Vance McDonald?
That's exactly what I was going to talk about. And you know what? He's a sneaky little play. Gabbert loves throwing to these tight ends. And with Celek out, Vance McDonald was the third biggest name I saw off of waivers this week. After the Parkers and Chandlers, Vance McDonald is a sneaky play. I think he's one of those 6-for-60 type stat lines at the end of the day. And if he gets in the end zone, the guy could be a top five tight end position play this week in fantasy. Gabbert, as much as people want to dog him, the guy's getting it done. He's not going to be the 330 yards and 3 touchdown type quarterback. But he's a serviceable guy. He looks comfortable in this offense. and he gets the ball to his tight ends and Anquan Boldin down the field.
I mean, Gabbert is coming in and kind of rallied the troops. Got the offense working. You could tell Blaine Gabbert probably should have been started from the jump. Colin Kaepernick out of his league this season as NFL quarterback.
Now you know why. Yeah, now you see why everybody was calling for Kaepernick's head on the team. Not outsiders, insiders in that locker room. The team turned on Kaepernick and said, we want Gabbert as our quarterback. And that's not a personality thing. That's what they saw every day in practice for months and said, what are we doing here? Gabbert runs the team better and runs the offense better, and you're seeing it these last couple weeks.
The Cincinnati Bengals, 10-point favorite against the Cleveland Browns this week. 27 is the number on Cincinnati side. I like the running back duo, especially in DFS this week, either Geo or Jeremy Hill. You know guys like to play Jeremy Hill, so Jeremy Hill is a more contrarian play. I do think you'll see a higher ownership on Geo, of course, being the pass-catch running back. I really got no problem. This is a plus-plus matchup on the Cincinnati Bengals side of the football, Chris.
Yes, and let's talk about this game real quick because there's a lot of interesting things, I think, to talk about here. We covered the Bengals running backs. You're playing Bernard, and Hill, if he's ever going to shine, this will be his week where he can hopefully get it done. The Bengals ran for about 160 yards the first time these teams played on a Thursday night where the Bengals blew them out. They did get about 35 carries to get those 160 yards, so it's a little skewed, but I'd still trust both running backs and put them out there. Here's where the sneaky play comes in. I think Marvin Jones could be a really sneaky play in this game versus a Browns secondary that is atrocious, can't stop anybody through the air, as long as Tyler Eifert sits in this game. If Eifert sits, Marvin Jones would be a great sneaky daily play versus that secondary. A.J. Green had a nice game last week where people didn't expect it. I'd go right back to him again. I love, you know, you got to love all Bengals in this situation, but you got to keep your eye on that. Could be a huge sit this Sunday if Eifert takes the week off with his neck stinger, you know, that he still hasn't practiced this week, still hasn't been cleared to practice, and we're Thursday already. So starting to get a little worrisome. Eifert's a top three tight end play if he plays, but if he doesn't, you got to make, you got to make arrangements. Marvin Jones is the beneficiary, I think, if that happens. On the other side of the ball, Corey, with Cleveland, what do you know? You don't know what to expect with this Austin Davis, you know, quarterback. You haven't seen much of him, and that worries the Travis Benjamin and Gary Barnage owners that they got their boy McCown back. They were putting up the numbers, and then he goes down again. So play those guys with a little caution, I'm sure, in Week 13.
Definitely, I got a situation this week where I have to play Travis Benjamin. It is temper your expectations. Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee, a 3-point home favorite, 43 total on this one. This is kind of up and down. We know what we like. We know what we get every week from Jacksonville. Do you see a reason why that does not stop with Blake the Snake and Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas and you know, Allen Hurts looks like he'll be out with a concussion this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be shocked if Hurns sits. The coach already said don't expect to see him, so let's rule him out. So let's look at this game as if Hurns is out. We already spoke about it. Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas are top plays at their respective positions, in my opinion. The Yeldon situation is what it is at this point. T.J. Yeldon isn't giving you those every, you know, now and then 30-point games, but he's not giving you that 3 or 4-point game. The guy is like a consistent 12 every week.
Uh-huh.
It is what. If you want to take your 12 and go to sleep, T.J. Yeldon's your guy. He's getting the 4 catches a game. He's getting the 60 rushing yards a game. When he gets in the end zone, maybe you get close to a 20, but when you don't, you get closer to a 10. So that's Yeldon's story. Other than that, maybe Marquise Lee steps up this week in a Hurns' place. I doubt it, though. We haven't seen him all year. He's supposed to start at the other position, wide receiver position for Hurns, but I wouldn't trust him either. So unless you're talking Robinson and Julius Thomas, that's all I want. Bortles has been great. We talked about it last week, Corey. That last touchdown that Bortles got with 30 seconds left really took him over the top. When you go in on a quarterback, you're looking, you know, it's kind of weird when you think about it. It's like, you know what? He's sitting at an 18 or 19 point game, and you're like, ah, he didn't have a good game. And then he gets that last touchdown and puts you up around 26, 27 points, you know? It's like, oh, he had a really good game. So it's like always that third touchdown. If you could get that third touchdown, that makes or breaks, a day or a second touchdown with, I think he'll be right around that again this week. So that's the Jacksonville story. Tennessee, I love Delanie Walker. Again, this guy gets it done every week. That'd be my play on the Tennessee side.
And, you know, looking at the other side, you said that already. Tennessee at this with this 3.5. It's 3.5 point favorite. You see anything there?
You know what? Yeah, the 3.5, that half hurts, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
I would go with Tennessee not to lose two games in a row at home. I know they have a pretty long losing streak at home. I think Mariota gets it done at home this week. They just lost to Jacksonville 2 weeks ago. I think they get a little revenge. I would play the revenge angle in the division with Tennessee winning this game at home with Jacksonville a little banged up.
The Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans, big, big AFC matchup in Week 13. Buffalo's a three-point favorite, 41 is the total in this one. We talked about Shady McCoy earlier, and now he's starting to catch more and more passes, Chris. No Carlos Williams this week. This lines up real good because that's what they want to do. They don't want Tyrod Taylor back there slinging the ball 30 times a game. They want to dominate time of possession, and they want to run the clock, and they want to pound the rock Rex Ryan style. And LeSean McCoy is getting all of that work to himself now.
Yeah, and Corey, you know what? It's funny that the Bills are playing the Texans because you know what McCoy is reminding me of? The Texans running back that went down, Arian Foster. You know, that there's not a lot of these running backs out there that every week are catching 5 or 6 balls out of the backfield and getting the rushing yards where they could run for 100 as well and a touchdown. You know, McCoy's one of those Arian Foster-type running backs that gives you everything, both sides, you know, the receiving and the rush.
And he has a nose for the goal line, too.
And he has a nose for the goal line. And Carlos Williams missed practice and most likely isn't going to play this week. So you take away, you know, you give more carries now to McCoy that have been, heading Carlos Williams' way and, all in on Shady, man. All in on Shady. You said it earlier. Shady's one of these running backs. I think he's a top 5 running back the rest of the way, hopefully. You know, maybe this is just me hoping because I'm relying on McCoy here. But he didn't get it done early in the season, but he's one of these running backs that could finish really strong at the end here and, hopefully make his owners some money come playoff time here.
Looking at the other side of the football, you can't touch the Buffalo Bills past 13. It's time to stop playing. There's no bye. Now, on the Houston Texans side of the football, don't expect DeAndre Hopkins, to drop another dud in the big week. The Buffalo Bills on the back end of that defense, they can't be had. Chris, you did a scout video show today, and I had Mark Deming, former top player Mark Deming, send me a lineup to discuss, a DFS lineup to discuss. He sent me two. Both of them had Cecil Shorts the third in it.
Wow. Really? Okay. You know what? He probably wants to go with the whole, you know, Rex Ryan wants to take away the top target. You got Stephon Gilmore that's going to probably be following DeAndre Hopkins around. And you know what? Maybe that opens up a lot more in the passing game for Cecil Shorts. Cecil Shorts, it's been a while, since he's had a pretty significant big game. This might be the week. Buffalo secondary, it was pretty solid early on, but it's been falling apart now lately. It's been getting carved up in the secondary. I've heard a lot of different experts this week give different views of this game, and I'm a little worried myself because whenever you deal with a Rex Ryan defense, you know, you got to worry a little bit, and especially when you're in December and you're in Buffalo. So I worry a little bit about the DeAndre Hopkins game. Some people, like I said, are all in on him, love him, top 2 or 3 wide receiver play, and others are looking at it, a little worried and, have him a little down the board. let's just hope he has the big game for my sake and your sake. But, Cecil Shorts is an interesting play. I think you could equate it to my Marvin Jones play a little bit,
yeah.
You know? Secondary receivers in good matchups with the focus on, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Greens of the world. So, it's definitely one of those DFS, big tournament play lineups. Cecil Shorts could have a nice game as well, without a doubt.
Swing for the fences on this one. Of course, you can't touch Houston Texans backfield. Who do you like winning this game? Buffalo's a 3-point favorite.
I should have saved the whole I'd stay away from this game for
this
game.
But
I would stay away from this game. You have a build. These are desperate teams right now. The Texans are playing unbelievable. They're back in it right now, the Texans. The Bills are desperate at home, coming off a loss. I would lean towards the Bills to get a win at home, but the Texans' defense is playing so well right now, it's tough. These are two teams that are going more on the upswing, along with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, that right now you don't want your team playing either of these three teams right now because they're hot, their defenses are coming together, and you know what? Tough call. I'll say the Bills at home, though, to give the Texans a loss for the first time in a while. I think the Texans – are the Texans on a five-game winning streak, Corey?
I was about to say the Texans are on a five-game winning streak right now.
Yeah.
I know it's at least a four-game winning streak. They're playing very well. Speaking of games to stay away from from the gambling standpoint, the Miami Dolphins are 3.5 home favorites to the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm just like, why this week? Why this week?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
1 o'clock's right off the top. 1 o'clock's right off the top. Meaning you got to stay down in the 7 o'clock to walk with your money because it's some bad, it's some tough games in that 1 o'clock window this week. This is another one of them right here. The Miami Dolphins 3.5-point home favorite to the Baltimore Ravens. Miami is just about giving up also, and Baltimore is just don't have the talent to do it.
Yeah, you're right. Let's just say that. You're 100% right, and I know, someone that likes to wager. So as I'm looking at the board all week long, I honestly have not placed a wager yet, Corey. This is just, we're just talking here. I don't like, there wasn't one game that stood out to me. You know, last week we talked about it on the show, and I told you how much I love the Lions versus that Eagles, and I went in on them pretty heavy. I hit that. I also went in on the Cowboys and got destroyed with them. So let's be fair. And then I caught an unbelievable miracle because I loved the Denver Broncos in that situation on Sunday night, and I escaped with a win that I didn't have any business winning. So 2-1 last week on my bet, for last week. But I don't have a game on the board this week that stood out to me like those three that I loved last week. This is a teaser week, Corey. Let's put it that way. This is a week that, for someone like me, I don't like any game straight up, really. I'll probably take two or three games and tease them together, and that'll probably be my top play of the week.
No, I have. Actually, I already downloaded the cards and printed them out already. The teaser is I have three teams on a half-point parlay, and I have two teasers that I have more of my earnings going towards, and the teaser is definitely the way to go this week. And then I'll take a better look at halftime at what's going on with when the 1 o'clock to get to halftime. May have a better look at it at that point. But anyway, back to the fantasy talk. Spoke about Devontae Parker, how much we like him this week, along with Jarvis Landry. How do you feel about Lamar Miller this week going up against the strength of the Baltimore Ravens defense?
I'm off Lamar Miller, Corey. I'd stay away, especially with Jay Ajayi getting more involved. Complete fade of Lamar Miller. I'll keep it simple. If you're going to play Lamar Miller, Corey, you're playing the angle that the offensive coordinator, Lazor, got fired.
Yep,
and it's
exactly.
Because they want to focus in on the run game more. Here's where it gets tricky, though. Everybody says, all right, they want to go to the run game more and focus in on that. And everybody just expects to go uptick on Lamar Miller, which may be true. We'll have to wait till Sunday. But you know what? it might mean getting Jay Ajayi more carries and getting him involved more, because this is a team that's pretty much out of it, and they want to see Lamar. First off, people don't realize Lamar Miller's a free agent at the end of this year. They might have just said, hey, you know what, we're letting him walk. Forget this guy. We have our future running back that we don't have to pay a lot these next couple of years, and he's out rushing Lamar Miller and looks better than him pretty much every week anyway in Jay Ajayi, and we drafted him early. Let's give him the rest of the season so we know going into next year what we have. I'm worried about that situation, especially if I was a Lamar Miller owner, which I'm not, thank God, but you're going to have to let that play out. But I'd be sitting on the sidelines with Lamar Miller this week.
Of course, the Baltimore Ravens, there's two people that you could play, Javaris Allen and Kamar Akins. That's about it.
Akins.
Got about 10 minutes left
yep.
to go in the program. The Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. Carolina's a 7-point favorite. I'd like New Orleans in this one.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a little surprised at this number when it jumped out. Obviously, the Saints' defense is brutal, and you got the undefeated team with Carolina coming in. But you know what? To lay a full touchdown in the Superdome with Drew Brees as the quarterback of the other team, that's a pretty big number. I thought it would be more along the lines of 4, 4.5. I'm pretty surprised at 7, but Vegas knows what they're doing, Corey. So at the end of this game, we might all be scratching our heads and saying, oh, well, that's why it was 7, you know?
Hopefully I'm not that guy. This is one of the ones that I would take straight up on the parlay right here. The New Orleans
yeah.
Saints getting that 7.5. Speaking of the New Orleans Saints, over on Scout Fantasy, Ben Watson is the 4th-ranked tight end this week.
Is he? That's great
yeah.
that you just heard that, Corey. All right, if you don't mind, I want to throw another situation I'm dealing with a Ben Watson. I got Ben Watson and Kyle Rudolph on that team that we talked about earlier with all the running backs. Those are my two tight ends on that team. And I have Ben Watson in, but it seems like a lot of people are off Ben Watson and on Kyle Rudolph. And I'm sitting there going, am I second-guessing anything here? Do I go with Kyle Rudolph that's been, you know, picking it up lately, or do I go with the guy that got me there? What would you say to that one?
This is a tough call right here, because Kyle Rudolph yeah. is a favorite of a lot of experts and analysts this week. The targets are going
yeah.
up, and he has, and
yeah.
he plays the Seattle Seahawks, who have a vulnerability against the tight end. We saw that in the first quarter last week when Miller caught 5 passes. Now, with that
right.
being said, boy, I tell you what, if I like New Orleans getting this 7.5, then that means I like New Orleans to be able to run up and down with the Carolina Panthers. Carolina's going to score 24. Because Carolina's going to score 28.
Yeah.
Carolina might score 35. So that means they
yeah.
got to run with them. And if they're running with them, it's going to be the Brandon Cooks and the Ben Watts.
I know. I completely agree. And at the same point, wouldn't that be another reason to fade Ingram in my lineup that we talked about earlier if you expect the Saints to be playing from behind and chasing?
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true,
you
too.
Know?
But you also made the point of Ingram is getting more and more involved in the passing game. That also
yeah.
helps when you're playing from behind.
Yeah, it'd be funny if this was the C.J. Spiller game, right? Playing from behind
oh
the pass.
Don't do that. Don't say that, Chris. Don't say that. I mean,
yeah.
it's been that kind of year, though. It's the kind
yeah.
of year it's been where we look up next week and CJ Anderson was always number one all week for week 13. CJ Spiller,
excuse
me.
Yeah. How about that for a sneaky, sneaky big tournament? Go for the millionaire makers. Load your lineup up with a great quarterback, receivers, and I bet you CJ Spiller on DraftKings is 3,000. That for a home run out of the box play that nobody has, and CJ Spiller playing down 2 touchdowns the whole second half is in the game, catches 6 balls for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns type play.
Well, I tell you what,
wouldn't
we can only hope so, Chris. We can only hope so. Of course, Carolina, you know, the usual suspects. Chris, we want to go rapid fire. Got 5 minutes to go in
yep.
the program. Seattle and Minnesota, we already spoke about Kyle Rudolph. I do think it's worth getting Kyle Rudolph in your lineups this weekend. Quickly, how do you feel about Doug Baldwin?
You know what? I think Baldwin's a play from here on out, Corey, especially with Jimmy Graham not in the mix anymore. Who's going to catch these balls? I know that's going to be spread around a little bit to Curse and these other guys, but Baldwin, I think, is the number one guy going forward. I think you could rely on him for 5-6 catches.
No, a tough week for Stephon Diggs also. Arizona Cardinals and St. Louis Rams. Feel bad for the Todd Gurley owners. The production is starting to dip because, not because of Todd Gurley, but because of the poor play of Nick Foles. Really outside of Gurley, nobody on that St. Louis offense. On Arizona's side of the football, well, here we go. It's week 13, and we got David Johnson now.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you pick them up off waivers, he's in your lineup, you know. You know what? He could do it in the pass game too, Corey. This might be one of those running backs that catches 5 balls every week and adds in 50, 60 rushing yards. I don't expect Ellington either to mess with him. So David Johnson's a full go this week. And Larry Fitzgerald, 8 catches every week. It's amazing.
Yep, and he's speaking of a player that's getting it done. And right quick, want to say about to talk about that game one last minute. You know, I got if you have David Johnson holding them all season, boy, I tell you what, that he's going to be, could possibly be a player going down the stretch. Atlanta Falcons, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, another NFC South battle. Matt Ryan is a piece of shit. He is a turd. Get him out of your lineup. He's killing Julio Jones. Like Devonta Freeman a lot in this game. Julio hasn't scored in 3 weeks, though, so he read the big Julio game. And you know what?
So
I like Winston Jackson this week. Jameis Winston, the offense is stable when Winston Jackson got back in the lineup.
Yeah, and you know what? Have you heard of anything with Austin Seferian Jenkins? I can't believe this guy.
I don't think he's ever going to play, though.
He's going to be out with a sprained shoulder from week 2. Amazing. I mean, there's got to be more to that story. But anyway, yeah, the only thing I would worry about a little bit is, you know, who is Trufant going to stick on in this game between Evans and Vincent Jackson? I've heard a couple guys actually say that Trufant likes to stick to Vincent Jackson's side a little bit. This might free up Mike Evans in this game and slow down Vincent Jackson a little bit, but I find that hard to believe. I really do. I think Trufant will, you know, be following Evans around a little bit more this week.
We already spoke about how much we love the New York Jets and the New York Giants. Right quick, Chris, Giants. I like the Giants plus.
Yeah, I do too, Corey. I think Coughlin's playing for his job, and they know it. Here's the big thing with this game. Revis isn't going to play, I don't think, Corey. And Revis's backup, the kid Williams, who isn't that great, but he's going to be out too, leaving only pretty much Antonio Cromartie, who's dog crap, out there. Odell Beckham is going to go apeshit this week again with Eli. Look for the Giants, you know, to win the battle in New York.
No doubt. I agree with you 100% on that week, even though I do like that Jets 2-0 in the background. The Denver Broncos and the San Diego Chargers, it is only 2 questions. Can you start C.J. Anderson and Ronnie? Can both C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hill both start? Ronnie Hill and both starters in 12-team league.
Yeah, they are, Corey. C.J. Anderson more like an RB2, and Hillman probably about the same. But I like what I saw out of Anderson. I think he plays more than Hillman this week going forward versus the Chargers defense that can be run all over.
I agree with you 100% on that one. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders, the duo, the call. You know everything going on in this game. Spencer Ware is in the mix to see a play this week.
Yes. You know what? Andy Reid says that they're both going to play. So, you know what? Look for Ware to be the more short yardage back, probably coming in the red zone, get the touchdowns. Kendrick West will be the lead back in terms of, you know, getting the receptions and more carries. Got to hope he gets it done, maybe gets the, you know, runs it in from, you know, longer than 15, 20 yards, because I expect Ware to be the red zone back, like I said.
So,
but Macklin, it's a good game for Macklin right here also to get to get
2 weeks in a row for Jeremy Macklin. Getting down to a couple seconds left. New England and Philadelphia be very wary playing the Philadelphia Eagles. New England Patriots, you know, Tom Brady and that crew, go ahead and stack them up. The Garrett won all for the Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins.
Yep.
Darren McFadden on Dallas side of the football. The guy likes Alfred and Jordan Reed, Sean Jackson this week. Alfred Moore is a very sneaky player this week. And last but not least on this game, with Washington defense on your waiver wire, pick them up. I like Washington defense this week. Chris, next week we'll be talking about our teams in the playoffs, my man.
Yes, sir. Hopefully the ones that we don't have in right now are in next week. So let's get it going.
All right, let's get it going. That's a takeover for week 13. Thank you.